welcome to Scripture Ventures, where we seek the wisdom of God like silver and search for it like hidden treasure. In today's episode, I'm going to share three truths you can hold on to when life feels like the most epic of failures, while providing you with key steps you can take to shift your perspective from failing to refining. Have you ever had one of those seasons where it feels like no matter what you do, you can't win? You're trying to please everyone, your family, your friends, your boss, maybe even the stranger at the gas station this morning, and somehow you still end the day feeling like you've disappointed them all, including yourself. Maybe your efforts go unnoticed. Maybe your kindness feels unreturned. Maybe you just feel tired. You see, life can sometimes feel like you're climbing uphill in flip-flops, struggling to get your footing right and praying you don't fall flat on your face. And if you've ever been there, or if you're there right now, I want to encourage you today. You're not alone. And I don't believe you're failing. I actually think you're being refined. C.S. Lewis once said, "Hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny." Sometimes God allows us to come to the end of ourselves so we will rediscover the beginning of Him. All right, truth number one. Everyone experiences seasons like this. When we find ourselves in seasons where it feels like we failed every single test of the day, it's easy to forget that we're not the only ones who face hardships, setbacks, and yes, even failures. But friend, everyone experiences seasons like this. I want to look at what one of Jesus's closest friends and trusted disciples had to say about troubles. "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." James 1:2. Now, why would James tell us to consider these troubles as an opportunity for joy? I believe it's because every single one of us walks through moments that feel like defeat, and not because God is absent, but because He's working. These moments remind us that we weren't created to live independently from Him. In fact, it is often in these "I can't win" seasons that God's whisper grows loudest, where it's like we can finally hear Him say, "You were never meant to do this alone." Have you noticed how sometimes we tend to pray most honestly when life isn't going our way? It's that moment when we drop the polished words and come to God with our messy hearts. And I believe that's exactly where He meets us, right in the middle of our mess. And it's so intimate. I just love those moments with Him. Consider what Max Lucidio once said. "God never said that the journey would be easy, but He did say that the arrival would be worthwhile." Our struggles are part of the refining process. Just like gold is purified by fire, our hearts are purified through dependence on Him. When life feels impossible, it's not punishment, it's preparation. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to start living for the arrival while learning to embrace the joyful moments of the journey, even if sometimes they feel few and far between at the moment. I want to invite God into every single moment of my journey, that polished and the messy. I want to stop hiding from Him when I think I've messed up and instead bring Him into my brokenness as freely as I praise Him in my victories. And my prayer is that in doing so, someone looking at my life won't see perfection. They'll see Jesus and want to know Him more deeply too. Truth number two, our happiness can only be rooted in pleasing God. One sure way to spend your life feeling like you're missing the mark and failing miserably is to live from the platform of pleasing people, even yourself. And oh friend, please know that this truth comes from a woman who's been there. I've lived on that platform for far too long. And let me tell you, it's exhausting, it's heavy, and truthfully, it's not holy. But today, I'm speaking from a place where I'm learning to lean less on approval and more on the truth of God's instructions and promises. Let's look at what the Apostle Paul shares about living for the approval of others. In Galatians 1:10, he says, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." Paul knew exactly what it was like to live for the approval of man. Before his encounter with Jesus and before ever speaking on his behalf, he persecuted Christians, and he did it with the applause of people. So here he's speaking from experience. And let's be honest, trying to keep everyone happy is exhausting. It's like trying to straighten your hair on a humid Texas day. No matter how hard you try, the frizz and the curls keep coming back. People's opinions, just like our own emotions, change daily. When we root our worth in them, we're tossed around like waves in a storm. But when our joy is rooted in pleasing God, we find peace that isn't swayed by circumstances or moods. Listen to what John Maxwell once said. "You cannot overestimate the unimportance of practically everything." And so this one's a tongue twister, so I want to say this again. You cannot overestimate the unimportance of practically everything. And I know that sounds funny, but it's actually deeply freeing. When we realize that most of what stresses us out doesn't really matter eternally, we can finally exhale. Go ahead, do it. We can stop performing and start resting in obedience to God. Jesus modeled this perfectly. His focus was never on pleasing the crowds, but on pleasing the Father. In John 8:29, he closes by saying, "I always do what pleases him being the Father." Jennifer Rothschild has a new Bible study out titled Heaven, and I heard her do a quote off of this, and it is so beautiful. "Earth is short, heaven is long." Sister, that perspective changes everything. We can persevere through today's troubles because heaven is coming, and it's forever. When our goal shifts from being liked and meeting expectations to being aligned and loved, everything changes. So I want you to pause for a minute and ask yourself this question. Whose opinion has the power to steal your peace? Whose opinion has the power to steal your peace? Now, ask God to help you release that person's approval and rest in his acceptance. Because when you live to please God, you finally stop losing battles that were never yours to win. Truth number 3, Jesus told us we would have trouble. Sometimes we can ignore truths found in Scripture simply because we consider our feelings and our life experiences to be trivial. That's as if we think God and Jesus have bigger or more important things to be dealing with. But Jesus never wanted us to feel this way. He did not die for our perfection. He died for our sins, big, little, and small. And now, I'm not necessarily saying that your feelings are a sin, but what I want you to understand is that when we limit what he did on the cross, we limit the power of the cross. So as we look at what Scripture says about troubles, I want to encourage you to not dismiss what could be troubling you right now because you feel it's not worthy of his promise. In John 16:33, we're told, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." What happens is we often apply this verse to big trials, illness, loss, death, disappointment, but it also applies to our emotional battles. Jesus wasn't surprised by our mood swings, our doubts, our weary days even. He knew that life on earth would bring both circumstantial and emotional turbulence. But he also gave us this anchor. Take heart, I have overcome. And maybe right now, You're fighting a battle no one else sees. The one in your mind that whispers, you're not enough, or you should have done this instead of that. Or possibly the, you're not a good wife, you're not a good mother, sister, daughter, friend, neighbor. Girl, fill in the blank, because we have all been there and played that I'm not good enough war at some point in our life. The battle that rages in our minds is never ending. But God's word says something different. He tells us that the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Exodus 14:14. You see, you don't have to win every battle. You just have to stay surrendered to the one who already has. But we must remember, biblical surrender requires constant renewal. We don't just surrender to God and His way once. Each day we get up and we do it again and again as if we had never done it before. Hannah Whitall Smith shared, "The soul that gives itself up to God finds that even its failures are turned into successes." As we close today, I want to share some biblical principles that will help anchor us in these truths we've discovered. First, abide, don't strive. Abide in me and I in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:4-5. The goal isn't to do more for God, but to be with Him more often. Guard your mind with truth. Take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Feelings aren't facts. God's word is. Filter emotions through His promises. Choose joy daily. The joy of the Lord is your strength, Nehemiah 8:10. You see, joy is not just a feeling. It's a focus. It's choosing to look for God's goodness in the middle of the struggle. And lastly, remember eternity, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all, 2 Corinthians 4:17. This world is not the end of the story. Heaven is. So sisters, if it feels like you're losing every battle, remember, you're not losing. You're being led into deeper trust, quieter faith, and a stronger dependence on the only one who never changes. You don't have to please everyone. You don't even have to please yourself. You just have to walk hand in hand with the God who delights in you. As Corrie Ten Boom said, never be afraid to trust an unknown feature to a known God. Let me say that again. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. When we shift our perspective from failing to refining, we begin to see that every setback is shaping us into something beautiful, something more like Jesus. Until next time, keep seeking the wisdom of God like silver and searching for it like hidden treasures. When we dive into His word, He is always waiting for us.